Daniel chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonder that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Verse 8, but at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dreams that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had a shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him. And let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy God is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruits thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the root thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in tender grass in the field, and let it be wet with dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king. Verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with dew of heaven till his hair were grown like eagle's feather and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is in everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors of my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. An excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Thank you very much, Jan. But today we come again to one of those historical chapters. And we do find that chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6 were on very familiar ground generally, because we generally know the content of these four chapters of history. Because last week we were looking at chapter 3, where the message was bend or burn. And now we come to chapter 4, and what we find now, the holy watchers are saying, really, repent or I'll suffer. And so we have in chapter 4 the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar himself as to how God dealt with him in his disciplinary ways to bring him down from his pride, to humble him. And so we find that this whole chapter really is Nebuchadnezzar's testimony, and from the opening verses, the testimony to the world, it seems. Now, what I've done with this long chapter, I've divided it into seven pieces. I thought it may be easier if we did that. It's difficult when you're on a familiar passage just to know how to handle it for benefit and have spiritual blessing. Number one, we find verses 1 to 7, we have the proclamation from the throne. Here we have, first of all, in verses 1, 2 and 3, the universal character of that proclamation. And then in verses 4 to 7, we find that Nebuchadnezzar, he continues and concludes this great proclamation. For it's I, Nebuchadnezzar, who's actually stating these things. And then when we come to the end of the chapter, from verse 34 to verse 37, we have a further proclamation. This proclamation is from Nebuchadnezzar after his experience at the hand of God in relation to humbling him from his pride. And from that proud situation that he took, God has humbled him. And now from verse 34 to verse 37, we now have another proclamation from Nebuchadnezzar, but from a man who's now self-humbled. In between, we got five pieces, if I might put it that way. For what we have, first of all, now from verse 8, is it from verse 8 to
12?
8 to 12, we have the parable of the great tree. And then from the parable of the great tree, from verse 18, from verse 13 to 18, we then have the pronouncement of the holy watchers. Now that should be interesting. Who were these holy watchers? And so we have then these first two pieces. We have the parable of the great tree and the pronouncement of the holy watchers. And then in the thirdly, from
19 to 26.
From verse 19 to 26, we have
prophets the
prophet Daniel interpreted the dream unto Nebuchadnezzar.
His appeal.
And at the end of his interpretation, he appeals to King Nebuchadnezzar to forsake his ways and his sins. And so we see in that section, we have the prophet Daniel who were moved in no favor with the king, appealing to him to leave off his sins. And then we find from the prophet interpreting the dream, we next have the patience of God. For we find in verse 29, after 12 months. I think it's very interesting, isn't it? Daniel's interpreted what this dream means, and yet God gave him a period of 12 months. 12 months in which to respond to Daniel's appeal and to repent of his sins. But of course, we know the story so well, he did not do that. And so we find from the patience of God, we come to the
30 to 33, pride of Nebuchadnezzar.
We have the pride of Nebuchadnezzar that brought him into the judgment that the holy watchers had pronounced against him. So we find that the chapter, I just want to pick up one or two things out of those sections that may be of profit to us. First of all, the parable. You remember in chapter 2, when Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, what he dreamed was the image, a colossal image, of a man. And with those different metals, gold, silver, and brass, and iron, and clay. And so we find that in the dream that he had in chapter 2, it was the image of a man, but a colossal man. Not the normal height of a man, but a big man. Now, when we come to chapter 4, again, in his dream, we have a tree, but not just an ordinary tree, a colossal tree. The magnitude of the tree, it reached up to heaven, and it stretched out to the ends of the earth. And so this dream that God gave unto Nebuchadnezzar, it was in parable, so that Nebuchadnezzar did not understand what the tree was all about, did not understand what the beasts who were under its boughs, or the birds who rested in its branches. He could not make head nor tail. No, it's just a parable. And that's why he needed to call the magicians and the astrologers. Notice he not learned his lesson from chapter 2. They could not answer and give the king the interpretation in chapter 2. And he calls them again here in chapter 4. Maybe because between chapters 2 and chapter 4, Daniel has been promoted. He's over all these magicians. Maybe when the king commanded, it was Daniel who said, you go and see what the king wants. Because we find that it was later that Daniel came in on the scene. And so we find that we have the parable and then we have the pronouncement of the holy watchers. I just want to say something about the pronouncement of the holy watchers before we look at Daniel's interpretation. See, Nebuchadnezzar did not understand anything about the holy watchers. And we need to go back to Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. Because in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, we find that there are certain times when God holds court. And all the angels, here called the holy watchers, are called to give an account of their responsibilities in relation to mankind on earth and events on earth. And you remember on those two occasions in Job, Satan came also, because God not only commanded his angels who were his ministers and messengers, he commanded Satan to come. And you will recall, of course, that God said to Satan, where's thou been and what has thou been doing? And God simply said, hast thou set thine heart upon my servant Job? And so we find that these holy watchers are angels. Angels that belong to God. Angels that have an interest in the affairs of men on earth. And so we find in this dream, these holy watchers are actually from among the angels, these holy watchers, one comes down and speaks unto the king in the dream concerning, well, not now the parable, but the pronouncement that this tree is going to be cut down. And yet, the stump is going to be left in the earth. It will have a band of iron round it. And so we find that this is the pronouncement of the holy watchers. It is then that Daniel begins to explain to the king that after all, this parable is really in relation to himself. The great tree is Nebuchadnezzar. And over those years, since God raised him up from out from among all the Gentile nations to make him the King of Kings and to give him a kingdom, Babylon, a kingdom so great and so mighty, and so much so that there's never been a Gentile king of such power and majesty as Nebuchadnezzar. And so, as we said the other day, that when we come to Daniel chapter 4, we find that Nebuchadnezzar has grown great in his king, in his kingdom. He's grown great in his own self-esteem. He's grown great in the eyes of the people. And so we find that in this particular dream, God is going to set before Nebuchadnezzar this what he has become between those years when he first raised him up in chapter 2 to commence the times of the Gentiles to the present at the chapter we're at. And so we find, as always, what did the king say in the earlier verses? He said, well, he said, I was prosperous and I was at rest and I flourished and he sent in a message of peace. The only problem with prosperity and flourishing and being at rest, it leads to pride. And so it was with Nebuchadnezzar. It led him to that pride of heart that brought forth the pronouncement of the Holy Watchers. And after all, what peace did he have? How long did it last? For as soon as this dream was given to him, he was troubled again. Doesn't take much to make even the greatest of men troubled in their minds. And so it was with Nebuchadnezzar, as he explains to us in those opening verses, how that in those days when he flourished and prospered and rested, suddenly the dream that was given to him troubled him, for he did not understand what the dream was all about. And so we find that from the parable as to Nebuchadnezzar himself, we find now the when the holy watchers made their pronouncement, we're indicated straight away that this tree actually was a man. This great tree in the parable was a man, and that King Nebuchadnezzar himself. And what these holy watchers pronounced in that dream was to cut this great tree down, but to leave the roots in the ground, a band of iron around it, because it was not finished with. It still had a future, but a future that would be altogether different to as it was when it was cut down. And so we find a very important truth in my judgment, that as far as the affairs of earth are concerned, God actually in this present time, as in Old Testament days, he governs the earth and the affairs of men through the mediation of angels. Angels are God's messengers, sometimes messengers of peace, sometimes messengers of judgment. But what we learn is this, that these holy watchers, for the word watchers and holy ones refer to the same persons, not two separate persons. The angels are holy ones. They are the watchers. They are the messengers of God right throughout human history at this present time even. And so we find that God, who governed the earth and the affairs of men in Daniel chapter 4, through the angels, he still does so in the day in which we live. God is still governing the earth and the affairs of men in association with angels. And of course, that will be so until we get to the book of the Revelation, when we find that the Ancient of Days who sits upon the throne in chapter 7 will give place, of course, to the Lord Jesus Christ in that millennial day when he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not then will he accomplish his mission through the ministration of angels, but of course through the church and also through Israel. And so there'll be a total change of scene when we get to the period after the rapture of the church. But here is God. He's moving in the affairs of men, and he uses his angels to convey the message. And so we find it was the message of the angels that gave King Nebuchadnezzar a troubled mind. What did it mean? This great tree cut down to the ground. But of course, when Daniel comes in, Daniel does explain to the king. He gives him the interpretation of the dream and then follows it with his appeal to him. As we look at the interpretation for a moment, what Daniel is saying to King Nebuchadnezzar, God had given him a kingdom and honor and majesty and greatness so that he filled the whole earth. It reached under heaven and it reached out to the ends of the earth. And we find that just as the beast of the field was found under the boughs of the tree and there was food to eat and the birds of the air in its branches, we find that what Daniel was saying unto Nebuchadnezzar, God has made thee a great king, and all the inhabitants of the earth have benefited through the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. And that's the whole point. The birds of the air and the beasts of the field, they're all fed. And that by this great kingdom of Babylon, of whom Nebuchadnezzar was its king. And so in the interpretation of the dream, Daniel's reminding Nebuchadnezzar that how God had raised him up to this great position, given him this great status in earth, so he was responsible for feeding, as it were, all the ends of the earth. But of course, what troubled him most was this cutting down of the tree. That's why Daniel was making his appeal to the king. Because if only the king would repent, there'd be no cutting down. The chastisement of God would not fall upon him. He would not experience the judgment of God. And so what we find, these holy watchers who pronounce that this tree will be cut down, but not destroyed forever, because the trunk, the stump and the roots would remain in the ground, ready to shoot again. But of course, because he did not respond to the appeal of the prophet to repent of his sins, the holy watchers pronounced that he would be driven from his land and from his throne, from his kingdom. He would be given the heart of a beast, and he would live like an ox in the field, eating grass. And his hair would become like the eagle's feathers, and the dew of heaven would wet him, his body, and that for a period of over seven times. And so we find those seven times, as in Daniel, refers to 7 years. A time, when we get to chapter 9, and times, and half a time, they each represent years. And what the holy watchers have pronounced was this, that for 7 years, the king will be driven out from his palace to live like the beast of the field, until, of course, he learned the lesson. Then why was that necessary? Because in spite of Daniel's appeal to him to forsake his sins, in spite of the fact that Daniel explained to him the danger he would be in if there was no repentance, we find that when we come to the lower end of the chapter, such is the pride of King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, this great Babylon which I have built, made strong. And we find that after this dream, after the pronouncement of the holy watchers, after the interpretation by Daniel, after Daniel's appeal to him to forsake his sins, he didn't. Isn't it interesting? God gave him 12 months in which to repent. And so we find, do we not, that even in the midst of judgment, God does show mercy. But after all, even the New Testament would teach us that God always gives space for repentance. And the space for Nebuchadnezzar was 12 months. I think that's wonderfully encouraging unto all the people of God. But after all, we were all in danger of lifting up our hearts in pride. We're all in danger of failure and fault. But God is merciful. In his chastisement, he does give space for repentance. Of course, we may not realize it, but we are very conscious of when we fail. We're all very conscious of when we sin. Remember, God gives space for repentance. As he said, unto the church, now, except they repent. And so you see, even in the letters of the seven churches, the message went out, except they repent. And God gave each of those churches space to repent. And so we find that what God did for Nebuchadnezzar, God does in this church age. Whenever we fail as individuals, or perhaps as an assembly, God gives space for repentance. But where that space for repentance is ignored, and where there's no humbling of ourselves under the mighty hand of God, there will be the abasement. That's what Peter teaches in 1 Peter chapter 5. You see, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God means in due time, you'll be exalted. To abase ourselves now, in due time, God will exalt us. And so we find that there's one or two lessons to be learned from this well-known chapter of God's dealings with Nebuchadnezzar. First of all, he's warned in this dream of the danger he was in, because lifting up his heart in pride, saying that he had built this great Babylon, it brought about the judgment, the chastisement of God. And so for 7 years, he was driven out from the palace, from the throne, from the kingdom, as it were. And he actually dwelt in a field like the ox in the field. And for 7 years, his mind, well, God gave him a disease of the mind, I take it. And so he became like the ox until the 7 years were complete. And after 7 years, says Nebuchadnezzar, I lifted up my eyes unto heaven. And from that point, we see that under the chastening hand of God, Nebuchadnezzar has been brought now to humble himself and to repent. And upon the humbling of himself under the mighty hand of God, God exalted him and gave him the heart of a man again. He came back and God gave him the kingdom again. God gave him the throne again. God even gave him those who waited upon him before all this experience. They all came back to King Nebuchadnezzar. For God is gracious. God is merciful. And in judgment, he remembers mercy. And that's a great lesson that we have set before us in this chapter. A lesson that Nebuchadnezzar learned, that even in judgment, God shows mercy. Well, the effect upon Nebuchadnezzar was just this. We would say that when you come to the end of the chapter, we have the language of a Nebuchadnezzar in relation to a conversion. You know, in the introduction, we talk about being saved and being converted. And as the Lord said to be, when thou art converted, when thou art turned again. And so we find after this experience, this great king, Nebuchadnezzar, he was turned again. We use the word converted. And the very language of the closing verse even may suggest to us that such was a change of heart and ways and status of King Nebuchadnezzar, we could well expect to see him in heaven. And so this chapter, a chapter that is in the form of a parable, where we have the pronouncement of the angelic messengers that God uses in establishing his affairs in the world. And then, of course, the way in which Daniel actually interpreted this dream and warned the king, appealed to him. In the end of the day, of course, Nebuchadnezzar to learn the lesson the hard way and lift up his heart in pride. Then God abased him and he became as one of the beasts of the field. I think very simply, as I speak to you all and to me, you know, it's a hard lesson to learn sometimes. There's one thing that God hates, in whatever shape it takes, is pride. I mean, the promise is very clear. God hates pride. And when we as believers become proud, God gives space for repentance. But where that space for repentance is ignored, then divine chastisement follows. That through the divine chastisement, we might learn to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that God may exalt us in due season. So we see then, in chapter 4, this dream, this chapter that's so well known, we have this wonderful exposition of the ways of God in judgment, in grace, in mercy, and in restoration when there's repentance. And we trust that God will bless these well-known verses to us even today.